Good morning, Rabotai. Tonight, we are going to be celebrating Shevi'i Shel Pesach. Of course, the Shevi'i Shel Pesach is a special day on the Jewish calendar. It is the night where Am Yisrael experienced Keri'at Yam Suf, the splitting of the sea. In fact, it says, Lehagid baboker hazdecha ve'emunatecha balelot. David HaMelech says, I come to speak in the morning about your kindness ve'emunatecha, and I strengthen my emunah balelot, in the nights. So some ask, how come when it comes to the boker, he says it's singular? When it comes to the night, he says balelot. Should say balayla. Should be singular, Jack. Boker, make up your mind. You want to talk singular or plural? Why boker? It's singular, and lelot is double. So some explain bederech remez, in a way of hint, that lelot, there are two nights of the year that a person is able to pick up a tremendous amount of emunah. One is the night of the Seder, and one is the night of Shevi'i Shel Pesach. Ve'emunatcha ba'lelot. Two lelot. Two special nights that we have to strengthen our emunah and all that comes with it. So Shevi'i Shel Pesach is a special night and a special morning and a special day. We're going to spend a few minutes today to discuss what brought about this great miracle of the splitting of the sea. Because the whole story really is hard to understand. We know that when Am Yisrael was finally leaving Mitzrayim on their way to the promised land, the Pasuk says suddenly, Vayhazek Adonai et lev Paro, Hashem hardened the heart of Paro, Melech Mitzrayim, the king of Egypt, Vayirdof Ahare Bnei Yisrael, and he chased after the Jewish people. Uparo hikrib. And Paro got close. Vayis'u b'nei Yisrael et einehem. And Am Yisrael, they raised their eyes to see what's happening. Vehine Mitzrayim nosea ahareem. You can just imagine their disbelief. They see the Egyptians with full strength coming after them. Vayire'u me'od. And they were very afraid. Vayitz'aku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem. And they started to scream. Ramban says, when Hashem strengthened the heart of Paro to run after him, after them, the words of the Rambam are as follows. Ve'en be'kol ha'moftim kapele hazeh. The Ramban considers this the greatest of all miracles. What's this? Which part? Not the splitting of the sea. The fact that Paro, after all that he went through, is now running after them. They have to remember, this man has just went through a year of plagues, one after the other, until finally Bakad Bechorot, which was the icing on the cake, they were done. It's over. And now he's running after them. Says Ramban, Veze be'emet shiga'on lahem. Meaning, to do something like this, you have to be crazy. They weren't crazy. But you have to be crazy to do this. You have to be meshuga to do this. Aval sikel atzatam, but Hashem made the advice not so smart. They didn't give themselves good advice. Vehizek et libam, and Hashem made a miracle. He strengthened their heart. Likanes bayam. Not only to chase after them, but to actually go enter the Yam Suf.
Oh, here. Here.
Like I said in the beginning, this needs a lot of explanation. Because if you would study the events of the Jewish people in Egypt, so we had the Moshe and Aharon coming to tell them, okay, the time has come. Hashem says, we're ready. It didn't go as fast as they probably expected. But after the first makat, after the first plague of the blood, already they started to see the light. Already the work became easier. They stopped becoming mishobad to Mitzrayim. And slowly another makah. Things were going on their way for their freedom. Until finally the final makah, the big hit, makah Bechorot. And of course Moshe Rabbeinu had already told them to take the riches of Egypt, the wealth of Egypt. So now they're walking out, everything is going as planned. Why would Hashem send Paro after them? The things were going in the proper derech. You would imagine when they left Mitzrayim that they're now ready to go into the promised land with song, with celebration, with excitement, whatever you could imagine. Imagine a person who is stuck in jail. Imagine a hostage. He's been in captivity for years. And finally, after many, many, many days and much work, he gets out. That means the time is ripe for him to get out. Hashem opened the door for him. Now, he's out. And a few days later, Hashem sends the same people to grab him again. If he wasn't ready to get out, if it wasn't the time to get out, don't get out. Leave him there till he's ready. And if he was ready to get out, why are you sending Paro after them? This is not a normal thing that happened. This was a miraculous, godly intervention. Ve'chizakti et lev Paro. Ve'chazek Hashem et lev Paro. Meaning there's no logic to this. No normal person would do this. So Hashem, after he sees Yetziat Mitzrayim, Hashem saw the 15th of Nisan is the time to leave. He saw they were ready to get out. So why is he sending Paro after them?
This is a big question. Before we celebrate the great miracle of the splitting of the sea, we have to understand the great miracle of why Paro had to run after them. You would have imagined when they were ready to go into freedom, it's going to be benachat, it's going to be with ease, it's going to be beautiful. This is the question. They only sang the song of Az Yashir after. But before that song, it wasn't so pleasant. Just imagine what Am Yisrael felt. What happened? That they were going through this again. Comes the Midrash and opens our minds. Maybe for some people this would be difficult to understand. It could be it's a surprise for others. But that's why we come and learn. So we get surprised. Because if you learn and you only learn what you know, so you haven't learned much. So it's good when a person says, oh, I didn't know that. That's a good thing. Oh, really? I never thought that way. Good. That's why you came here. We're coming so we could learn things we didn't know. So it's not a big surprise. Unfortunately, when people think that way, the reason why they came to class, as many people do, is to make sure the rabbi knows what he's talking about. So long as the rabbi knows what he's saying, because they see it the same way, he's a good rabbi. That's why they interview rabbis. Who interviews rabbis? Ignorant people. They sit down around the table, and they want to know if the rabbi is qualified to be their rabbi. Did you ever hear? Could you imagine a heart surgeon is being interviewed by all the people who have heart problems? They're going to sit around the table and they're going to see if he's qualified. Maybe a rabbi needs an interviewer, but not by ignorant people. He needs to be interviewed by people who could understand the language. So it's the most ridiculous thing. But as much as we're laughing, it's very, very true that most people, when they go to listen, they really are testing if the person speaking is in line with their thinking. Because so long as they hear things that are in line with their thinking, they're pretty happy. When they hear things that they don't really understand, it is then that they walk out and say, I don't know, not for us. What happened? Why is it not for you? What did he say? I don't know. He said this and this. I don't agree with it. It doesn't make sense. You go to class. We go to learn. When you open a book, you learn so that you understand things that you didn't understand before. That's the whole point. Now, if you don't understand what he's saying, so ask him. If you don't know the source, so talk to him. Let him prove it to you. You have a question on it? Ask him. I'm not saying you have to walk around with blindfolds. But just because someone says something that you don't understand till then the same way, that's not a reason to be upset and to walk out thinking this is not the right place for you. So we come to learn so we understand things sometimes for the first time in a new way. And this is one of these midrashim that for many people, they understand it very well. But for many others, it's a very big surprise to them. Says the midrash, Vayhi bayamim harabim ahem. The midrash quotes a pasuk back in Parashat Shemot at the beginning of the story. When this whole thing started, the pasuk says, "Vayamot Melech Mitzrayim." It says Hazal teach us he didn't actually die; he got sarat, he got leprosy, And at that point, his wise men advised him that the way he's going to become healed from this sickness, he needs the blood of children. He has to bathe in the blood, fresh blood of children. So he killed 150 every morning and 150 every night of the Jewish kids. Every day, 300 children. He killed them and he dipped in their blood. Vayizaku. Says the Pasuk, Vayizaku. And the Jewish people at that time, they started to scream in prayer. Right away, the Pasuk says, Vayishma Elohim et na'akatam. Hashem heard their cry. And that's when the Ge'ulah, that's when the redemption started. Right after that, the Pasuk says, Vayishma Elohim et na'akatam. Hashem heard their cry. Vayizkor Elohim et berito. Hashem remembered his agreement, his covenant he had with Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Right after that, Moshe hayaro etzon Yitro hoteno. The famous story of Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert by the burning bush, when Hashem told him, the time has come, we need you to come and save the Jewish people. We're going to leave Mitzrayim. That is the beginning of the Midrash. Am Yisrael started to scream and pray because of the terrible, terrible experience they were put through. Hashem starts the process of the redemption. And now, a year later, they're on their way out. Says the Midrash, the Pasuk says, when Paro was running after them, Paro hikrib simply means he got closer. But the literal word hikrib means he brought closer. He brought something closer. Who hikrib et ha-korban? Hikrib means he brought closer. What did Paro bring closer? Says the Midrash that in Egypt, when Hashem heard the voice of Am Yisrael, when he heard the tefillah of Am Yisrael, the prayer of Am Yisrael, he took them out. V'haya HaKadosh Baruch Hu mit'aveh lishmoa kolan. When they left Mitzrayim, they were in celebration mode. What happens when a person is in celebration mode, right? He goes into a business meeting, saying Tehillim. He's making all kinds of promises. He's nervous. They write in the biggest order he ever imagined. He comes out.
Who are you?
Me, Hashem. He forgot who is Hashem. He walks out with a head that is inflated with himself, inflated with the excitement of what's coming, inflated with happiness and success. Nothing wrong to celebrate. But it became inflated. And the Tehillim is long gone. The Sefer is somewhere in the bottom of the bag. It's finished. The prayer worked. It would seem like a normal process. When you're desperate, so you pray. When the salvation came, you put away the tool
If a person needs to put a nail in the wall, he gets a tool called a hammer. After he puts in the nail, imagine he would continue holding on to the hammer wherever he goes. He's got the hammer in his head. People ask him, what's wrong with you? Why do you have a hammer? He says, listen, you never know when the tool, when the, might be a nail I need to push in. They think you're a fool. To have a hammer. So it's normal. A person is in trouble. A person is in trouble. He needs a hammer. He heard Tehillim is a good hammer when you have problems. Takes the hammer, starts reading. After the Yeshua comes, he takes the hammer, puts it away, and that's it. It's very normal. Nobody would even think that anything has gone wrong or off. Makes sense. Tefillah is very important. Prayer is very important. You need something. You got to pray. And Baruch Hashem, when you got what you needed, put away the book. Move on to other things. Says the Midrash, Haya HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mit'aveh. Such an interesting word. Who would have known that Hashem could have such a word attached to his feelings?
Desired.
Hashem desires. Did you know Hashem had desires? I didn't know that. But look at what did he desire? What does he desire? Spaceships? He desires airplanes. What does he desire? V'haya HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mit'aveh. Hashem has one desire. Listen to this desire. Somebody asks you, does Hashem have ta'avot? Does Hashem have desires like me? And the answer is yes. But he only desires one thing. Mit'aveh lishmoa kolan. Hashem has a desire to hear their voice. Meaning now they left Egypt. And Hashem is waiting for the Tehillim. Ve'lo hayu rotzin. They had no interest. I understand them. When we had the children being murdered daily, so of course we had to pray. What does that mean? But now Hashem says, okay, so where's your tefillah? Where's your prayer? And they, lo hayu rotzin. Lo hayu rotzin sounds like, not like, you know, they forgot. They were busy. They didn't want. They didn't want, meaning they had no desire to do that. And we understand them. What would they pray for? Everything is going perfectly. The nation is leaving Egypt. Everything is good. If everything in your life is going perfectly, why would you need to pray? We need to pray because we got a lot of problems. You see a guy with a long amidah, you know he's got a lot of issues. If guy's crying by the Kotel Maharavi, you know he has something going on in his life. But now everything is good. That's why lo ratzu, lo hayu rotzin. They didn't want, meaning they didn't feel any need or purpose for them to continue to pray. But Hashem has a desire to hear them. We have to explain that, by the way, so that people don't misunderstand. Of course, Hashem's desire has nothing to do with what he wants. When it says Hashem desires, it means out of his understanding and his tremendous ahava for us, he desires for us. Because he knows that is a very important part of our existence. That's what it means, he desires. It's like a father who desires for his daughter to get married.
not for him. His desire is for her. But anyway, they didn't feel there was any purpose, any need. Ma asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did Hashem do? Hizek libo shel paro. Hashem said, okay, what can we do? We got to figure out how to get these guys to pray. So what does he do? He makes a miracle. He sends Paro after them. Uparo hikriv. Paro brought close. Who did he bring close? Shehikriv et Yisrael teshuva. Paro brought the Jewish people closer to Hashem. Kevan shera'u otam, when they saw the Egyptians coming, talu enehem le'akadosh baruch hu, they turned their eyes to Hashem, vayitz'aku lefanav, like the pasuk says, when Bnei Yisrael saw, vayire'u me'od, they got afraid. What did they do? They took out Tehillim again. Vayitz'aku Bnei Yisrael el Hashem. I say this is a very big chidush to many, 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 many people who don't know. It's a very big chidush because most people view prayer as a hammer, as a tool to get something that you're lacking. That's how most people view prayer. And that's why you'll find people in desperate times, in difficult times, praying. And pray, I don't mean just saying the words, but praying with feeling, connecting. You'll see them with regesh, with emotion. You'll see them sometimes with tears. You'll see them actually, when they're in the Amidah, they look like they're talking to somebody. When do you know if someone is really praying? When you look at them while they're in the Amidah and they look like they're in conversation with somebody. And if you look around, a lot of people don't look like that. A lot of people, when you see them in the Amidah, I'm not judging people. It's not my goal here. Everyone is trying to do good and we have to give them chizuk and we have to tell them they're doing a good job, even standing not the right way, it's still something. But we cannot deny that there is the right way to do things and the wrong way to do things. If you look at most people praying the Amidah, they do not look like they're conversing with somebody. Besides the speed of the words being said. You know, now he's just changed over to Morid HaTal. From the beginning of the Amidah to Morid HaTal, it takes a good, I don't know, minute. But you start the Amidah, already people scream, Morid HaTal! How did they get there so fast? Did you ever hear someone conversing with somebody at that speed? Try to talk to somebody with the speed that you pray the Amidah. Does that sound like a conversation? So if you measure the speed, you know they're not talking to somebody. There's no way the Amidah could be said in a normal conversation less than 6-7 minutes. No way. Cannot be. Of course, the person, the way they're standing, you could just look and see if they're talking to someone or they're just trying to get a box off their shoulders. Most people look at tefillah as a tool when a person is lacking something and they need to get it. But this midrash clearly says not like that. It's a mistake. The whole thing's a mistake. Tefillah is not a way to make things better in your life. That's not what tefillah is for. Tefillah is not a way to get rid of your problems.
Rather, we see from here, very simple, very obvious, that the problems came so you could pray. Very big difference. The Tehillim is not a tool to relieve yourself of the problem. The opposite. The problem was sent so you could pick up the Tehillim. Because there's something very, very powerful about conversing with the Creator of the world. Unfortunately, most people don't have such a connection to the Creator. They don't talk to Him. We have two big connections to the Creator, two major connections to Him. The biggest connections we have, two. Number one is when He talks to us. That's what we call Talmud Torah. When we come to learn, whether we're learning Halakha, Musar, Gemara, that's a major connection when He talks to us. And the other major connection is when we talk to Him. Could you imagine a relationship where people don't talk to each other? Once in a while, they send each other gifts. Once in a while, they remember each other. But they don't talk to each other. Where exactly is the relationship going to be built if there is no conversation? The way Hashem made human interaction is, especially in a marriage, for example, what would a marriage look like if the people don't talk to each other? Yeah, haram is right. There are many, many examples of that. Where people don't talk to each other. I mean, they talk when necessary. Pass the salt, you know. But talking meaning connecting. Talking meaning appreciating. Talking means praising. Talking means recognizing how valuable that person is in your life. Many, many, many marriages don't have such conversations. I would say, with confidence, it's a very large majority don't have those conversations. If they have them, once in a while, like finally after 25 years when their daughter got married, he tells his wife, by the way, great job. 25 years he's waiting, she's waiting. So with all the emotions and all the music and all the people, finally he gets home 3 in the morning and says, Chazak Baruch. Until the next wedding. Yes, so there is sporadic. They have a baby. He says something nice. She almost died having a baby. So he says something nice. Chazak Baruch. What would I be without you? But the daily interactions, pass the salt, max, kind of conversation. You need money? Pick up this, take that.
It's good tonight.
Good night, good morning. Right, what's for dinner? Praise Shiva. Hoda'ah. Real, heartfelt thanks.
Not worth
explaining to the person how much you need them. Most people in marriage are afraid to say how much you need the other one. They think that if you tell them how much you need them, they're going to become the boss. They're going to use that against you. So you have to always keep them under you. You can't tell them, where would I be without you? You can't do that. They're going to inflate themselves and you're going to be the target. It's a big mistake. So unfortunately, most marriages don't have this. But a marriage that does is a different kind of marriage. What a relationship. The Creator of the world created this reality in the physical world, because that is the reality in the spiritual world. The real connection that we have to Hashem is by speaking to Him, learning from Him, and speaking to Him. He talks to us, we talk to Him. Again, many people say, well, I pray, I don't feel. You don't pray. Forgive me, you don't pray. You pray, you say the word, but you're not connecting. You're not talking to Him. You're rushing through it. You don't understand a word you're saying. So again, you get credit for it, yes. You're a good man, you're a good person. I'm sure Hashem appreciates everything you do. Not the point. But you're not getting the benefits of the relationship. There's something missing in your life and you don't even know it. Connecting to the Creator, having a relationship with the Creator is the biggest reality in a person's life that makes a person strong, that makes a person capable, that makes a person besimha, it makes a person, so much it does. It's a great relationship. A person with a great marriage, for example, there are people out there that have great marriages. There are people that have really unbelievable marriages. If you've seen such a marriage, if you see such a person, you will know by talking to them, and they'll say it, that they can't imagine how they could live life without the marriage that they're in. It would be a complete disaster without their marriage. A good marriage will have those feelings. It'll be like the end of the world, God forbid, for them. If somehow this was no longer the way it is. That relationship with the Creator, if it's done in a proper manner, is way bigger than that. A person can have such a connection to the Creator of the world that he can't imagine being apart. He can't imagine living life normally without it. Again, if a person says, I don't feel that way, it's nothing to do with the product. It has to do with the consumer. A person is not invested in it. Investment in tefillah is a huge part of our life success. It's not a problem solver. Tefillah is a life builder. Tefillah is a way of life. It's a connection and relationship that we need all the time. And by the way, if you look in the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, you'll see clearly. You know, look at the story of how Hashem opens up Sefer Shemot. When Am Yisrael was in Egypt, Yaakov Avinu, his children, till Levi was the last one who passed away from the brothers. Till then, they were doing great. No slavery, no Par'o, no Egyptian, nothing. They lived in Egypt, but they had an unbelievable life. And then, the Pasuk says, after the passing of Levi, Vatimale ha'aretz otam, they started becoming very comfortable in Egypt. They forgot the most important relationship they have in life. And they started to become more Egyptian than they were Jewish. And the Pasuk says right away, Vayakom melech hadash al Mitzrayim. He brings a new king to Egypt, either the same one who changed or a different one. But bottom line, lo yada et Yosef. Someone who forgot all about what Yosef has done for Egypt. Till then, the Jewish people were respected as the family of Yosef. Yosef changed the life of the Egyptians in a good way. Forever. Not just for the time he was there. He built the most powerful, wealthy system. This Melech king forgot everything. Well, Hashem says, listen, if I allow the Jewish people to continue like this, so what will happen to them is what happened to all the other nations. all the other nations, when they stay by a different country for a period of time, give it 10 years, 50 years, 100 years. After 100, 150 years, they forgot where they came from. They became part of the new society. And they mixed in and became Egyptians. That's what happened to every other society of old. What happened to the Greeks, what happened to the Romans, what happened to all the ancient people, the Babylonians, the Persians. Where'd they go? They all died, no one died. Where are their children? What happened to them? Answer is, their children mixed into other societies. They became Italian, they became American. Today, meet an American who's been here for 100 years. Ask him, where are you from? America. But where's your grandpa from? If he remembers, maybe he remembers. But even if he remembers, has nothing to do with his reality. It might just be a faint memory that he heard from his mother. But what does it have to do with him? Nothing. That's how nations integrate and get swallowed up and get lost. So here, Am Yisrael is in danger. But Timalei Ha'aretz, Hashem says, okay, fine. We gotta turn up the heat. He sends them Melech Hadash, and he starts talking about the Jewish people negatively. That's the way anti-Semitism, that's the way it works. First, they start spewing all kinds of hatred. The Jews do this, the Jews do that. It could be some Jews do that. Like many people in the world, there are some bad people out there, but they use it as a rule. The Jews do A, the Jews do B. Some of them are completely made out. Some of them are based on some sort of truth that they found by one family, one person. That's how Nazis, Yimach Shemam, that's how they got the Germans to buy in to their plan. They got them to buy in, or at least to keep quiet, by turning the Jewish identity to be a threat to humanity and to the German nation. You talk about it enough time, people get convinced, especially if they're having problems. If a guy's having problems in life, if he's having problems financially, and someone tells me, you know why you're having problems? Because of that guy? He's waiting to blame somebody. So they started to talk about Am Yisrael. Vayasimu alav sare misim. They started to put on them certain taxes, certain jobs that they had to finish, which was to build cities for Paro. They weren't slaves, but they put on them certain quotas that they had to fulfill. Do you see Am Yisrael reacting to this? No. They said, listen, the bad king, what can we do? It happens. There are people out there that come on once in a while and do bad things to other nations. Nothing happened. Next. Vayavidu Mitzrayim et b'nei Yisrael v'fare. Now, Hashem turns up the heat more. A little hotter. They make them slaves. Ve'marru et hayehem ba'avoda kasha ve'homer u'bilvanim. First, they made them slaves. Hard work. What happened? What was the reaction? No reaction. Okay? A little hotter. Now they made their life bitter. Ba'avoda kasha. They gave them harder work. With bricks and mortar. B'chol avoda basadeh. What was the reaction? Next pasuk, nothing. Vayomer melech Mitzrayim. I said, okay, you know what? A little hotter. He went to the midwives, the Jewish midwives, privately. And he told them, listen, when the Jewish woman give birth, if you see a boy, kill him. Quiet, secret.
This was Paro's secret plan. You can't tell the Egyptians he's going to murder little children. Nobody would accept that. So he had a secret plan. What was the reaction of the Jewish people? They knew about it. Nothing. Next, Paro now got really powerful. Pasuk says, Vaitzav Paro lechol amo lemor. Hashem says, listen, even their children being murdered by the birthing chair didn't get their attention? Okay, make it a little hotter. He went and made a decree to his entire nation, public. This is unprecedented, by the way. Unprecedented. Kol haben hayilod hayor atashlichu. It was a decree in the constitution of Egypt. Any boy that's born needs to be thrown into the Nile. Unfathomable that someone can make such a decree to a nation and they would be able to follow it and not go crazy from it. To kill innocent little babies that just born, to throw them in the Nile. It wasn't a death camp where it was done on the side. It was a decree by Tzav. It was a new law in Egypt. You understand what kind of miracle that is? It's unprecedented. People have done a lot of bad things in this world for the last 5,700 years. But to go out and make a decree that you're going to kill every child that's born and everybody, whoever you are, you must become a murderer and throw them in the Nile. If in Egypt, you don't throw that kid in the Nile, you're put in jail. You're going against the law. Unprecedented. What was the reaction of the Jewish people? Nothing. They said, this guy, Paro, terrible. Terrible guy. We got to change. We got to find out how do we make a new government here. Who knows what they were. Sure, they were looking to change things, but they're going to protest maybe. Maybe they were signing petitions. Who knows what they were doing? I'm sure they weren't just sitting there. What does the Pasuk say? Nothing. Zero. And then the Pasuk says, Vayi bayamim arabim ahem. After many days, Hashem is waiting for them. All this. And now, Vayamot Melech Mitzrayim, that's what the Midrash brings. That's what the Midrash is saying. Now, he got leprosy, this king of Egypt. And as we said, he started to kill 300 boys a day, 300 children a day. I don't know if it was boys, 300 children a day. 300 children taken from their mother every day. Pasuk says, Vayizaku. The first time. The first time Am Yisrael prayed. I don't know if they didn't pray before, but this is the first time that it made a difference. It's the first time they prayed from their heart. It's the first time that really they reached out like a person reaches out to a rich uncle when they need to pay their mortgage. They reached out. Vayizaku. The first time. And the next pasuk says, Vayishma Elohim et nakatam. I said, okay, I'm waiting for this. All of what you went through, I'm waiting for this. And the process began. Great. And they were, I'm sure, continuing the relationship during the time in Egypt until they got out. They got out, says the Midrash. Hashem is waiting. Oh, what happened to it? Where are they? Where'd they go?
Zik.
What happened to my kala? Where's my wife? Where'd she go? Built a beautiful home. I gave her many servants. I gave her an open credit card. I gave her everything. Where's she? Where'd she go? Gone. No more talking. No more praising. No more nothing. Hashid was other pam. By Hazek et le Paro uParo hikriv. This is the story of Kiryat Yamsuf, the real story of Kiryat Yamsuf. Kiryat Yamsuf was only after they opened up their relationship again with the Creator of the world. You have to know, it's very important to know this. Again, for many people, it may be surprising to hear this. Unfortunately, we live in a world that doesn't understand the true values of life. But the life as a Jew is very much dependent where Am Yisrael is connected to the Creator. Not just doing mitzvot. They're connected to Him. They have a relationship with Him. They're learning from Him, what we call Talmud Torah, and they're talking to Him, what we call Tefillah. This is a core existence of the Jewish people. Guy says, no, I do a lot of kindness. It's very nice. I do a lot of mitzvot. Very good. But you have to know the core of the Jewish people's existence is a relationship with the Creator, which is learning and praying. Real learning and real tefillah. That's what it's all about. And when Am Yisrael is lacking in the relationship, that's when Hashem turns on the fire. Especially if it's a relationship that's at risk because the Jewish people are getting involved with other nations. Especially if that's the case. Something called anti-Semitism. Like the Pasuk says, Hafach libam lisno amo, says David HaMelech, you think Paro is a bad guy? You think the Egyptians are bad people? They just woke up one day and said, ah, who's Yosef? I hate these people. No. Hafach libam lisno amo. Hashem says, I'm the one who made them hate you. People have all kinds of solutions for anti-Semitism. You know, the great plan of the Zionists, the secular Zionists, you know, the ones that came, their dream was that when we, you know why the Goyim hate us? Why the Goyim hate us? Because we have no country. We're not a nation. Well, we live here, we live there, we all spread out. We're weak. If we have our own country, we have our own power, we have our own identity, then we'll be like the other nations. How many people do you know that hate Chinese? Nobody hates Chinese. Maybe they don't like the way they look. Maybe they don't like certain things about them. Nobody hates Chinese people. How many people hate the Indian? Nobody. How many people hate the Japanese people? How many people hate people in Singapore? It's not a normal thing to hate people. You know how many Japanese hate the Jewish people? And there's not one Jew who lives in Japan. Most Japanese never met a Jew. They never met one. But they hate them. You have nations that go to the UN if you ever want to know, just in case you think I'm talking like in exaggeration. Go to the UN and sit down there for a vote with something to do with Israel. Anything, any subject, any matter against any nation. You have like 100 and I don't know how many nations are in the world. It's all of them minus 5, minus 10, minus 15, minus 20. They don't even know what the subject is. They have no idea what they're voting on. It doesn't matter. It's obvious. How is there such hatred? No nation in the world has this zechut, this merit,
to be in the minds of so many people in the world and hate it. How many people hate Venezuelans? They don't even know who is where is Venezuela? Where is this place? It's a huge country somewhere in South America. They don't even know it exists. What do I have to do with these people? How many people hate Cambodians? Indonesians? There are hundreds of millions of them. Who's even thinking about them? What a zechut Am Yisrael has. To be on the minds of 8 billion people. How did that happen? You have to know it's a miracle. You think you're going to change that? Because you have a country now? Now you have a country, you have an army? Recently they had a study in Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Museum in Israel, that today, anti-Semitism is greater than it was before Nazi Germany. Could you imagine? We have a country, we have a powerful army. Now they hate us more. They used to hate us because we were weak. Now they hate us because we're strong. You think anti-Semitism comes from them? It doesn't. You have to know that. Very important to know that. Hafach libam lisno amo. Anti-Semitism is a tool of the Creator to separate us from the nations for survival. There is no solution to anti-Semitism except vayizaku. There is no solution. You could bring any speaker you want. You could protest. The more you protest, the more they hate you. Usually, when people protest, people have rahmanut. Oh, they're protesting. Hazaton. I can't believe it. But any part, when the Spanish protest, people feel they have a heart. When the Palestinians protest, people have a heart for them. You know, most people who support Palestinians never met one. They never met one. They know who they are. But they have a heart for them. They see them protesting. They see them that people are getting killed. They have a heart for them. If Am Yisrael will protest, they hate them more. Do you have to make an effort? Yes, we got to make an effort like everything else in life. Yes, a connection here, a connection there. Of course we make an effort. But is that where it's from? It's a mistake. It's not dependent on our army, our country. It's not dependent on our politics. It's not dependent on any of that. Anti-Semitism is a tool of the Creator of the world to separate us from getting lost amongst the nations and to hear our voice. There's nothing else. There's no other solution. That is what Shiv'isho Pesach is. Shiv'isho Pesach was a nation who went through the process and finally realized the power of prayer. But then when things got better, they stopped and they imagined, okay, we don't need this tool anymore. They thought prayer was a tool. Hashem, no, prayer is not a tool. Prayer is the goal. So you need another issue now, one last minute issue, to again get you Paro Hikriv. And that's what happened. And then Baruch Hashem, when they got the message, a great miracle happened. Even greater maybe than what would have happened. When a person gets the message, great things happen, maybe even better than before. A person, Bimkom Shebaale Teshuvah Omdim, Hazal Talas. The place that a Baal Teshuvah stands, even Tzaddikim don't stand. I don't know if it applies to this, but I imagine if Paro didn't come, they wouldn't have had the miracle of Kiryat Yam Suf. There would be no Az Yashir. But they did make a mistake. And they did make Teshuvah. And they came out even higher. Person, just take this Shiv'isho Pesach. It's Emunah Balelot. This is a great night. It's a night of Tefillah. It's a night where a person realizes how much he needs to be connected to the Creator, to learn from Him and to talk to Him. That a person should start investing in their tefillah, investing in our amidah. We could all do better at that. We could all be stronger in that. To really put an effort to understand what we're saying, to feel what we're saying. Because that truly is the secret power of the Jewish people. When we are connected to the Creator. Ezrat Hashem, we should all have atzlacha, have a good night.